Welcome back to Central Standard. I'm Steven Steigman. It's taken years, but the world's most popular sport is finally catching on in the United States. Sporting KC has regular sellouts at its stadium, and the team has fared well in its young history. Now it's turn for the U.S. women to take the pitch. This year marks the inaugural season of the National Women's Soccer League, and FC Kansas City, our own town's team, joined seven other cities: Boston, Seattle, Chicago, Washington, D.C., Portland, Rochester, New York, and Piscataway, New Jersey, on the field. Joining us now on the phone from Nashville, where several FC Kansas City players are training for the U.S. national team, are the coach for FC Kansas City, Vlatko Andonovski. Mr. Andonovski, welcome to Central Standard.
Hello. Thank you for having me here.
Also joining us is Melissa Henderson, a forward from Garland, Texas, who played for Notre Dame. Ms. Henderson, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much.
Melissa, let's start with you. How does the creation of a professional women's league change your career?
You know, I think it really changed my career just in aspects that I grew up as a young child, and, you know, we have a dream. We want to play professional soccer, and we want to do, you know, what I feel like a lot of us were blessed to have the opportunity to do, and to follow our dreams. And I think that this league being around has just allowed us and future generations of children to actually be able to live out that dream and continue their goal of becoming a professional athlete.
Well, how long have you had the dream of being a professional soccer player? I mean, when did you first start playing soccer?
I want to say I started around 4 years old.
Uh-huh.
I had an older brother, so of course I wanted to be just like him and follow him around. So I think that's really where it really stemmed from.
Now, at that time, when you're 4 years old and you're playing soccer, it's a bunch of people gathered around the soccer ball just running up and down the field, right? It's not, I mean, it's, when did you first really start to get interested in soccer and learn the technical aspects of soccer?
I would probably say in maybe 99 when the World Cup happened and the U.S. won. I think that just watching that with my family, I just was watching that game, and I can just remember afterwards just being totally baffled by how amazing the experience was for the United States to win such a prestigious tournament. And I wanted that feeling. I wanted to be able to, you know, represent a team or just be part of a team with teammates that are doing what they love to do, and just kind of representing God and putting him first and making sure, you know, that you're doing what you love and you're following your dreams. So I would say probably when I was about 8 or 9 years old.
Coach Andonovski, the roster is full of women who are incredibly talented. One was nominated for an ESPY. They've broken records and earned awards in college and have played on the Olympic team. What were you looking for during the drafting and recruiting process?
You know, if you look at the roster and the players that we signed and drafted, it is very clearly that we were looking for a creative attacking players that will make things happen on the field, and of course players that will fit into one very attacking minded philosophy of play.
Coach, why was Kansas City one of the few cities chosen to be home to one of these teams?
Kansas City it was chosen just for a simple reason, that Kansas City is a soccer town, or becomes a soccer city. And, of course, Sporting KC has a lot to do with that, and the success that they had in the past. Also, Comets, the indoor soccer team, helps out in that. And just the youth players that Kansas City has been producing and has been putting in different national level teams, it just created the whole buzz, and just helped the whole process of being one of the cities where a women professional team is going to be placed.
Well, Coach, you played 6 years of professional soccer in Europe, outdoor, indoor, for major and minor league teams. But in your experience coaching at a variety of levels in this town, how will Kansas City cultivate this new team?
Kansas City actually will do very well, and I think that the community will accept the team very well. I mean, we already have uh, We already have very positive buzz, and what we do on our side, actually, we're trying to create this connection. And in the college draft, we also selected two local players, so to say. And by doing that, we're trying to cater it to the community, because this whole league will be successful if we're catered back to the community.
Melissa, the league places a salary cap on each team of $500,000, which when you compare it to other major league sports is pretty small. How many players are on your team?
I want to say that I know for the roster that's on the initial roster, there's 17 listed. So that's what I'm thinking, around 17.
I guess what I'm saying is you're not playing soccer for big bucks here.
Oh, well, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, you're doing what you love to do, and you're having an opportunity to pursue something that you've always dreamt of. So I think that takes the icing on the cake right there.
Mm-hmm. And explain this host family program for the players.
Actually, I know I'm not really sure about the host family player situation in regards to Kansas City. I did stay with a host family in Boston, and it was a great experience. I'm actually staying in an apartment while in Kansas City.
Explain why they do this host family program.
It's a great way to really be with the community, to get to know people. And, you know, you have these amazing families that are willing to put up a player and just really bring them in as their own and welcome them. And it's just a really good experience to kind of branch out and really just get the overall experience of what it's like to play professional sports and get to know those around you in the area and in the community as well.
I mean, are you a bit of a foreign exchange, like a foreign exchange student? Are you hanging out with the family and doing the family things, or are they basically housing you and you're doing a couple things here and there?
I mean, there were many times that I was going to some of the little girls' soccer games that I lived with, or maybe going to a school.
look who I brought with me today.
Yeah, going to a school function. But, I mean, you know, you spend time with a family, maybe you'll have dinner and stuff. But a lot of it, you know, you're based on training. So your schedule's pretty packed with making sure you're at practice or you're at lifting or training, meetings, et cetera. So there's not... And I would say a huge amount of time to really spend with the family, but that time that you do get is very special.
Well, Melissa, does it connect you with the city more?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
One other question, do you have a host family yet in Kansas City?
No, I'm actually in Kansas City. I'm staying in an apartment, so I'll be rooming with one of the players.
Okay, got it. Well, when does the season start and how long does it last?
It starts in April 2013 and ends in August 18th. So,
playing in the nice hot summer of Kansas City, excellent. And where do you play?
We're playing at Shawn Mission District Stadium.
Coach, tell me about the stadium and its size and why the team chose that stadium.
The team chose the stadium mainly because of the location and the capacity of the stadium. The location is very centrally located in the city, and it's very easy accessible from different parts of the city. And then the capacity is what we think we'll be able to fill up as an organization. The capacity is 6,200, and I think that that's what the average will be around the league. So those are the two main reasons why we chose the stadium.
You're listening to Central Standard on KCUR. I'm Steven Steigman. Kansas City, are you excited for FC Kansas City? Are we becoming a soccer town? Our number, 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. You can tweet us. We're at KCUR Central Standard. And you can also send us an email, centralstandard@kcur.com. sportingpark.org. Coach, who's your target audience? I mean, Sporting Park, you know, for the men's team holds, you know, what, like 20,000. Are you competing with them, or do you have enough audience share in Kansas? Or are there enough people in Kansas City that people can go to both or do one or the other?
No, we're not competing with Sporting KC by any means. I mean, Sporting is Sporting are who they are, and you know, they're doing a great job. And if you know, we know that we cannot fill up 20,000 people, but there is definitely enough people in Kansas City that will come to both Sporting KC and FC Kansas City. And also, there are lots of young girls that are playing soccer in Kansas City. They will come and watch, and you know, hopefully idolize some of those players that are on the team.
Well, what role will the team play in training and supporting younger athletes?
The team will be out in the community all the time. You know, we're gonna have lots of appearances. We're going to have open practices. Young athletes, young players will be able to come and watch, see, and just like Melissa said earlier, hopefully change someone's life, and hopefully they're going to dream to become one of them at one day.
FC Kansas City is one of the most represented teams on the national team. How do we get so lucky?
You know. We definitely got lucky, but as an organization, I think we did a good job in terms of organizing and getting ready for the college draft. But the reason we got four representatives is because one of the players that we selected on the college draft, who's an outstanding player, got called for the national team. So. That's why we go with four representatives at the national level.
Melissa, can you make a living as a professional women's soccer player?
I think that you definitely need to do something aside, especially for off season, to really be able to, I guess, make a living as a soccer player. But then again, they are so awesome about giving you the amenities you need and really. Making sure that you're taken care of while you're with them and with the team and everything like that. So we're very, very fortunate in that aspect.
When players are drafted on teams, Melissa, do they care what city they're going to, or do they care more about the team and its makeup?
I don't know, because, you know,
What did you care about? Did you know anything about Kansas City?
You know, I've heard about Kansas City. I know plenty of girls who have played there, grown up there, and I've heard amazing things about it. So I was ecstatic knowing that I was going to be able to go there and to play for them. I think more for me, I'm just thankful that I'm able to play. I'm able to do what I've always wanted to do, and that's just how it is, where I am, who I'm with. You know, I'm blessed with amazing coaching staff, great players that I'm going to be playing side by side too. But at the end of the day, I'm just thankful for the opportunity to even be there.
I mean, do you feel you get the respect you deserve? I mean, from fans, and how about your male soccer professional soccer counterparts?
Absolutely, I do.
Let's take a call here from Casey in Overland Park. Welcome to the program.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I guess to keep things as simple as possible. Whether you support the Sporting KC or not, they're winning games, and I find that very intriguing and kind of a nice, refreshing, you know, change of pace. I mean, we've got these professional teams in town; they don't seem to do much of anything yet. Again, I know they've had moments in the sun. There's a Up to Date show that talked a lot about this, and I found it very kind of engaging. I work with high school students getting ready to apply to colleges, and I've had a couple of essays this year, helping them write essays for college. In which, you know, we're talking about, like, student applying to Notre Dame. Well, he's excited to play, go to Notre Dame. And why? Because, oh, I'll be going to a school where a football team wins for a change instead of going to tailgating games and just everyone's kind of bored or whatever. You know, versus even KU, the college games around here for football. You know, oh, my gosh, he went to a Notre Dame game. And it changed his perception of the sport because he saw a game where people were engaged, fans were engaged. that was a very, very telling sign. And just talking about sports in general, the students involved in soccer seem to be more charged up because we've got a local team that is winning and doing a great job.
Casey, thanks for your call. Coach Melissa, he brings up a couple of good points. One is the importance of having a winning team in town. How important is it that, that your team does well this year in its inaugural year?
I mean, it's the first year. It's very important. I think it's good to make a statement. And with the players and the coaches that we have working in this team and organization, I think that it's going to be a great year. I think it's important for the confidence level as the player for the players as well to keep them up and running. And it really is going to make the fans want to come back, and it makes them want to take part of it. And just getting the community involved will really help, you know. And I think that winning definitely determines how many fans you have and how much you can get the community involved.
Well, soccer isn't known for its high scores, but it is a nonstop game. It's exhausting. Can you take it, Melissa, take us through a typical week in the off season and then a typical week during the season? What kind of work is required of you?
You're constantly working off season, on season. I mean, there's probably even during the off season, I'll take a day off a week just because you always want to maintain so that you can make sure that when you do arrive where you are, to get down to work and that you're prepared and your body's ready and that you have the stamina that you'll need in order to last.
Tell us about your training regime, your exercise regimen. What do you do? What's a typical day like for you?
You wake up, you have breakfast.
Good idea. Good start there.
A pre-workout meal. You'll go and you'll do some interval workouts and you'll do a lot of cardio and lift training, and then, you know, I'll grab some lunch, and then I'll try to get in some, I would say, circuit workouts just to get some just high-intensity cardio in, just so for the sprints and stuff like that in the afternoon, and then get a good meal in and make sure you're getting some sleep so that you're ready to do it all over again.
How much total time a week are we saying that you exercise?
I don't know.
Have you ever added
it
up?
I've never added it up. You know, I think I should, though.
You know, one thing, I'm guessing it's a lot more than I'm getting, which leads me to my next question, which was, yes, it is. Many of us, the only thing I work out a lot is my mouth. Many of us are not professional athletes, but I think we admire the work ethic and dedication that they show towards their craft. What are some of the things that you do every day to motivate yourself to train and get better?
I think it's just knowing that I'm going to be playing, you know, for such a great team and organization. Like, I want to make sure I come in and I'm ready to go so that I can help my teammates in any way possible. You know, I just always want to be prepared. I wake up and I just try to foresee, like, the season, preseason, and just what I need to do in order to be the place that I want to be comfortable once I get there and know that I'm physically ready.
Coach Ananovsky, what's the biggest adversity you've overcome in your soccer career, and what got you through it?
Just the change coming to this country was, the biggest transition that I had to overcome. Yeah, and also, like you mentioned earlier, I played outdoor professionally for 6 years, and then coming to indoor, that was a big change.
What makes, I've seen both outdoor and indoor. I'm guessing that most of our listeners have seen it as well. What's the hardest thing about switching from outdoor to indoor?
The hardest thing is just the tight space, the dynamic plays, and the quickness of the game.
I imagine that you get nervous coaching at times. How do you cope with that when you're simultaneously on display in front of thousands of fans?
You know, when you're on the field and you're coaching, I mean, you really don't even think about the fans or about anything else, but just the team. There is a little nervousness usually before the game, but that's what makes us even more motivated and makes us be what the soccer term would be on our toes.
Melissa, how about you? How do you cope with the stress or the nervousness of playing when you're in front of thousands of people?
I mean, really, it came for me. I learned as I got older that you just really can't think about it, because if you give too much thought into it, I mean, it really starts getting in your head, and I think that's where you start making mistakes, and it really starts affecting your game. I try to just go in just really free of thought, and just I'm there to do what I love to do, and that's what I'm going to focus on. I'm not going to worry about my surroundings or anything around me. So I think that's really what I do in order to keep myself focused and make sure that I don't like the pressure overcome everything.
But you hear some athlete, professional athletes say that they get lots of energy from a really loud crowd around them, especially when they're doing well. Does that work on you?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Especially in soccer.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, anytime you hear a crowd around you get excited, it's obviously going to have an effect on yourself and give you a little more boost of energy to try to make something happen for them to keep them up and going.
Now, Melissa, it's my understanding that the team is currently scattered throughout the U.S. Several members are in Nashville training for the U.S. national team, for example. Have you even played together yet?
Throughout this team, a lot of the girls have played together, whether it be on youth national teams, college teams, the semi-pro league, I think. So a lot of girls have had the experience of playing together, and whether it be sometime in their career. So luckily, I think that we were fortunate enough to have that, where so many players have played together.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing about that first experience you have all playing on the field together. Our guests are Coach Vlado Andonovsky and forward Melissa Henderson from the newly formed FC Kansas City Soccer Club. Thank you both very, very much.
Thank you.
Thanks. Their first game is on April 13th at Shawnee Mission District Stadium against the Portland Thorns. You can subscribe to our podcast at Central Standard, or hear our conversation again, or access any of our previous shows on the Central Standard page of kcur.org. Tune in tomorrow as we look at love and heartbreak through a look at romance across cultures and find the best breakup songs. Our show is produced by Matthew Long Middleton with help from Claire McInerney. Up to Date is next with a look at the documentary on Kansas City's Virgil Thompson and your reactions to last night's State of the Union address. I'm Stephen Steigman, and this is Central Standard.